Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's world service.
It is not war and death and famine, it's not that at all. It's the opposite of that, it's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Well, the last time we spoke to our Monday-only listeners was from outside Ghostbusters HQ in Tribeca, Manhattan. We're now back in Dublin, but still feeling the warm after-effects of a glorious few days in New York City, celebrating 10 years of Second Captain's Hammer. It has taken us 24 hours to settle back in, but I think we're there now. With the pissing rain from yesterday being replaced by a beautiful, cold, icy frost on the ground. I don't know why that makes me feel better, even though it's a lot more limiting in terms of, you know, where you can go and getting around and stuff.
I had no intention of leaving the house yesterday anyway, so the rain didn't really affect me in that sense. As long as I could look out at the blue sky, then that would have been fine yesterday.
Yeah.
So warm after effects, I'm not so sure, but after effects certainly, and warmth probably not much today either, but yes, an exceptional couple of days in New York City, without a doubt.
There's an inner warmth, Murph, because what a night we had at the Brass Monkey in New York on Tuesday, hanging out with the intimidatingly successful Irish expat community. Oh, you're a physicist? Oh, you're how high up in the UN? There's a lot of that kind of talk. Our guest of honor was a favorite of World Service members, Caitlin Thompson. It's a bit like meeting US Murph for the first time 7 or 8 years ago. Just so much fun to finally see Caitlin face to face after so many Zoom calls in the last 5 years. And she did not disappoint, to say the least. So long before Caitlin created the iconic Racket magazine, she was a political writer covering US elections for Time magazine, The Washington Post, New York Times, these kind of publications. Why did she give all that up to move into sports publishing, you might ask? I feel this anecdote should help clear things up a little.
Also, you have to remember, like, I was born in 1980. I'm a child of, like, you know, Bill Clinton's 90s. Like, the wall came down and the ozone layer is healing itself. And, like, look at what we're doing. And, like, women, we can be people too. You know, like, it was just, like, this, like, sort of unbridled optimism. Like, the economy and everything. Like, everyone was sort of, like, anything is possible. And this is before, you know, certainly like 9/11 and the tech, you know, economy crashed multiple times and all this stuff. So, you know, I had this sort of unbridled optimism, like, oh, this will be such a meaty way to engage with the world and tell stories. And you know who I sat next to? I'm not sure if anybody in this room is going to know who this is. But when I was at the Washington Post becoming a political journalist and working on my first and second political sort of presidential campaigns, I sat next to a guy called Chris Saliza. Do you guys know who that is? He's the worst. He, like, invented, like, TV cable news punditry. And this guy, smart guy, but this guy came into the office every day, had not called any sources, had not done any, like, research or FOIA requests, you know, freedom of information requests, like, hadn't done any, like, meaty reporting that would be like, this today is how I'm going to make a difference and, you know, participate in the crucible of journalism. And he'd be like, I'm going to look at some polls, then I'm going to get my makeup done and talk on TV for 6 hours. And everyone was like, this guy's a star. And I was like, but what about this lady who just won a Pulitzer and got the Veterans Hospital to commit to major reforms and take care of our veterans? What about her? And they were like, who? You know? So it sort of was a really interesting values demonstration in what that world was. It didn't exactly throw me off the scent for another sort of 2 presidential campaign cycles, but finally I did hang up my hat after 2012. I was like, I'm out.
Didn't you spend time, well, before 2016, which was probably saved your soul there a little bit.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
Didn't you spend time on the, what was it called? The Straight Talk Express, John McCain's bus.
Yeah. famously recounted in David Foster Wallace's piece for Rolling Stone. He was sort of, you know, known at the time. He ran two presidential campaigns in a row, came pretty close, won the nomination, obviously, against, ended up losing against Barack Obama in 2008, which is when I was on the Straight Talk Express. Covering a presidential election, for anybody who wants to know, is basically you're on sort of like in the caravan of broken dreams with all these like political consultants, and everyone's drinking too much, and it's like a lot of like sort of addled, you know, like dudes. It's a real dude energy. And if you get food during the day, it's like a scrap of a donut that's been sitting out in the back of the bus in a box, and you are charged by the campaign to like feed and house you while you're traveling to all these different campaign stops to cover them. So I remember my like week and a half on tour with the Straight Talk Express covering John McCain's part of the campaign, Time magazine paid like $50,000 for the privilege of that for reasons I don't understand. Like, they didn't even cover the cigarettes I was chain smoking or like, you know, my bar bill, but the donuts I was eating and the access I had to the candidate, to hearing him say all sorts of awful shit, was...
Oh, hang on. Go on.
Yeah, so he famously called his wife a cunt during... Can I say that on this podcast?
I believe it just happened, so right. Yeah. Yeah, in that case...
I'm going to need another beer before we continue.
What was the context
well,
of that? I mean, I'm not looking to forgive the man. I'm just wondering how that came up.
I'm not sure that merits a follow-up question, but I admire that you just asked one. Well, he was sort of caught on tape calling her one. He called her, I don't want to say it again, but he called her a trollop. A trollop. Yeah, he was like, wow. You look like a trollop, you cunt. He was really mean to her.
Hell.
And everyone was like, this is a war hero. He's such a straight talking guy. Like, what an honorable man. He got his both of his arms broken in Vietnam. Which, like, yeah, that also happened, but nobody was kind of willing to sort of talk about the fact that he was, you know, using this sort of language in mixed company about his wife. So she had called him at one point because, you know, it had like one of those, you know, sort of cream colored phones that was in the seat that, like,
yeah.
You know, and it was like, oh, that fucking cunt, and just hung it down. And I was like, and I looked around at all these, like, you know, assembled reporters thinking everyone was going to be like, you know, and it was just like,
killed his old presidential campaign there in one word.
Yeah, like, yeah, you know, fingers are furiously, you know, sending stenos back to, you know, the bureaus. Nobody, these all like grizzled dudes were like, yeah, she sounds like kind of a cunt, you know. So I was like, I gotta switch. I gotta get out of here. I don't like this. And like, sort of the serious answer about that is like, I naively thought that political journalism was going to be a way to, you know, encounter the world and make things better. And truly, truly, not to like, you know, take us out of the moment, in 2008, hearing the C word on the back of the Straight Talk Express in Nashua, New Hampshire, which is not where anybody wants to be hearing anything. But, you know, eventually I was kind of like, well, politics is torched. Like, I got to get out of this. Maybe sports might actually be a way for us to get into something that's a little bit more meaty and meaningful and kind of sneak in some politics and values, you know what I mean?
Yeah, just the last one on the John McCain one. I mean, did you try to report it? Was it just obvious from the tenor of inside that that's an off the record remark here, you know?
It was obvious, but also I did send a note because we were sort of filing. Like, you'll see even now, like, whoever follows the presidential pool, they'll file reports like, here we are, we landed at blah, 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 Air Force Base, you know, and they'll sort of take turns sending back the, like, kind of meta narrative. And I was working alongside another gem of a human named Mark Halperin. Do you guys ever remember Mark Halperin? He's another, like, cable news blowhard. So just, like, the best people are in political journalism.
I can't believe you left political journalism, Caitlin.
I literally have a question here. So why did you step away?
I mean, the crazy thing is, and I hate to be like this person, but the crazy thing is, and thank God I didn't cover 2016 because it truly would have like murdered any optimism I had left in my soul. But these were all the dudes who were like, Hillary could never win. Everyone hates women. You're like, or do you just hate women and you're in charge? Like, what are we doing here? Like, these systems sort of keep perpetuating.
When you tried to report it, what was the response?
Oh, it was just immediately shut down. Mark was like, I was there. It didn't happen.
Oh, okay.
It's like, cool, Mark Halperin. Thanks nice. A lot. That guy's got a great career going, so why don't you Google him after this and you can see what he's getting up to.
How did tennis come back into things then?
I think we need to talk tennis again for a moment.
The straight talk express. Oh my, that sounds like an awful, awful case.
Yep. The best Republican we've seen before or since as well, Owen. Lest we forget. For all his faults and failings, you know, he was still the best of us.
What a great insight into how that all works, Caitlin gave. Oh, she was just amazing in person. I think we're already figuring out how we can get her over to Dublin later in the year. Is that correct?
Don't worry, on the wheels are in motion. You know, things are being put in place. You know, I don't want to make any hasty promises. The McCarthy rule and all that.
No. In the middle of all the action in New York City, we still found time to play out our interview with Leinster coach Stuart Lancaster, who has had no small amount of influence on the current success of the national team as well. With the Scotland game coming up this weekend, we talked to him about similarities between Ireland's attacking approach and that of Lancaster's team.
I think if you'd watched Leinster play for the last 7 years, you'd have seen that. You know,
Absolutely, that
style of rugby. You know, we would regularly score 100-plus tries a season. So I don't think it's new to Ireland. I don't think it's new to Leinster. I do think there was a big trend, there is a big trend in certain countries over data and analytics and statistics, and that in order to win games, you need to kick the ball more. Now, if you're talking about the science of coaching and the art of coaching, then I'm on the art of coaching side. And my philosophy personally would be to, right, let's see space, let's attack space, and it doesn't matter where on the field we're gonna play from. Because if there's space, then we need to develop skill set, the framework and the scanning, the decision making, all things we've talked about, and play to that space. Now, it could be space between defenders, space in the backfield, space on the edge. But there's always space, you know. But I would say a lot of countries, certainly there's definitely trends in certain countries where it's based on the kick meters, winning the kick battles, playing the percentages. The perception being that South Africa won the World Cup like that in 2019, which actually isn't true, because they played more rugby than England did in the final. But that's the perception. So then everyone started to mirror that. And in Ireland, I don't think they did that. Italy have obviously cottoned onto it. Scotland have always had that mindset anyway. Gregor Townsend would always have been like that as a coach. I think what Scotland have done differently, they've got a stronger defensive system now. So it's all very well having a great attacking mindset, but if you can't defend, you know, you score two, concede three. But I think they've fixed that up, you know, so there's a better balance in their team. The trick for Ireland is to stay ahead. But there's no doubt that they're on the right track. But you've got to have to play that way, you've got to have the athletes, you know. And my view was always, when I came to Leinster, we're not going to have the biggest genetically team in the world, but we can be the fastest, the fittest, the most dynamic. And so our training, the way in which we condition the players, the way in which they work in their off-season, the pre-season, it's not to get bigger and stronger, it's just to get faster and fitter. And I think that definitely helps. You know, if you want to play a territory possession-based game, then you're going to have a gigantic pack with a fantastic maul and et cetera, et cetera. And I don't think a country like Ireland has that genetic profile. So, and Leinster's the same, because, you know, we rely on homegrown talent.
Yeah, and another theme of that athletic profile Ireland has at the moment is just how good we've looked in the sort of final 10, 15 minutes of the last three Six Nations games, scoring these multi-phase tries and kind of outworking, outfighting our opponent to look what looked like easy tries by the end, but we've just seemed to have destroyed the opposition's resolve and levels of fitness.
Yeah. And like, we would do one of the fitness tests that we do at the start of the year. It's a Bronco. So it's 20 meters out and back, 40 out and back, 60 out and back. That's one. You do five sets. Each 20, 40, 60 takes about a minute, you know, so you're aiming to get under 5 minutes. And I reckon if you put the Bronco scores of every team out there, then they would stack very well in Leinster and Ireland's favour.
Do other countries not recognise this pattern, though? And do they not just come up with a plan to do something similar?
Gatlin used to say he'd the fittest team as well.
He did.
That's all you're saying.
But there's evidence. I mean, obviously they had a good team, you know, back in the day when they were playing well. They had a good team, and they probably were fit. You know, this is, you know, we're talking when, between 2012, 2015, maybe slightly later. But we're in 2023 now. So yeah, maybe teams do see it, but how do you catch up? Because, well, you can try and catch up, but everyone, you know, the trick is to stay ahead, you know, and as the ball in play time rises, hopefully, you know, through a more attractive game, to play into space more, et cetera, skill levels improve, then it's very hard to do, you know, to change that, to catch up when you don't just miraculously make players fitter in 6 weeks, you know. There's other issues that need to be addressed in terms of the mental side of things, the mindset of wanting to play to space, the technical side of the game in terms of the skill set, the framework, the decision making, scanning. You know, you can't just say, right, we're going to play faster rugby and expect it to work, because if that was the case, then every time you put a Barbarians team out and said run it around from everywhere, then they'd win. But they don't anymore, do they, in the modern game? Because you've got 15 players who are good defenders now, and it's a lot easier to organise defence. So you've got to have really subtle ways to break down modern defences, and I don't think it's that easy to do. So coaches often revert to, well, the safer option is to kick the ball and we'll play a slower possession, territory-based game.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
What does it look like? A turtle, is it?
Yobs.
There's an incredible podcast on at the moment produced by the Second Captains.
Biggest load of bollocks. The Second Captains show in Ireland.
We're now getting to that point now where we are inspiring.
The Second Captains podcast. Pretty much we're done for the last 20 years. Be role models to kids.
Hey, Pat, do you want to split?
Back at the Brass Monkey, Ken went deep into the fallout from Liverpool 7, Man United 0.
Greg Hurst, yeah, hitting the Anfield, touching the Anfield sign as he walked out.
Well, it's the fifth apology.
I'm a Manchester United fan. You know, I'm not shouting for blood. I just want his contract cancelled. That's all, Ken.
Well, he put out like a wall of text apology for this, because he was seen touching the thing.
Yes.
And then it was like, oh, wow, he's a Liverpool fan. And then it was like he was sabotaging. He's the enemy within.
Yeah, it did seem a bit of a leap.
Well, normally I never react on media topics, but for this one it's worth it because you're amazing at Manchester United fans.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Are important to me.
Present.
So I just want to clarify the video that is doing the rounds. From the national team, I know that Virgil always touches that sign. The only intention I had was to stop him touching it and wind him up before the game. Did he stop him touching it? I'm not. As a child, I always supported FC Twente. As a proud player, now for Manchester United, my dedication to this incredible club can never be questioned. Sunday was a terrible day for all of us. We were putting everything into making it right in the next weeks. We will bounce back together and achieve our aims this season. Love heart emoji.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean...
Honestly, this is kind of doing Vout a bit of a favour, maybe, rather than talking about his play.
I don't know why he's there.
Yeah.
I don't really get it.
Well, a week ago, it's, oh, he's a great foil for Marcus Rashford and all this stuff.
Understand.
Now they get hammered 7-0. It's like, oh, he's actually a lanky piece of...
Yeah. Well, like, why play him as a midfielder? Like, he's not. You know, the interesting thing about the game, I mean, we were talking about this game after the game, like immediately after it. And it's actually a lot easier when you can talk about it the next day. because you've got more time to sort of think about it and watch what actually happened.
Yeah.
As opposed to just going, oh, yeah.
fucking hell.
And what the one thing about it is that the man marking system, United's man marking system, really got completely destroyed. And that's going to be a problem for them. Well, I mean, it's not necessarily going to be a problem. I mean, I'm sure they're going to play a lot better. But everyone else is going to try and do exactly what happened there. You know, they're going to have to change that or figure out how to cope with it. Because every time, you know, the ball was with Alisson, Anthony would leave. Basically, Andy Robertson was free. I'm like, you don't want him to be free.
Yeah.
Not everyone has a goalkeeper who can pass easily to, you know, the fullback or fullback who's dangerous. But like, this was the problem. And then, you know, Fred, the players man-marking other players, following them around the pitch, and going, okay, well, if you're going to follow me, I'm going to bring you all the way over here where now there's a massive, there's a huge space on that side of the team. So, like, that's going to be a... I mean, it's not as though this is the first time this has happened to United. This is a similar thing happened with City, but it was so graphic that it's going to be...
Is that actually an easy fix, though, potentially?
Well, not if you want to keep the man-marking system. I mean, I suppose you can tweak it, or you can say, well, in certain situations, you don't just, you know, abandon your position, you know, and... But yeah, I'd love to be able to illustrate this sound with some with some visuals. But
the Ten Hag, I'm sure Eric Ten Hag has reacted in a nice, calm manner. Wouldn't be landing his players in the shooter.
Yeah, I mean, it was all this like, oh, he's how will he punish them this time? You know, but he did. Apparently, he didn't. Eric Ten Hag is going to send them to the psychologist. As though this was a punishment, but it doesn't seem as though that is. Yeah, they just reviewed the game.
I thought they had sent them all.
No,
it was psychologists. That was
fake,
a rumor.
Fake news. So.
Ah, jeepers. What about the Liverpool side of things? How much of a launch pad is this for? It seems that there are quite a few Liverpool fans in the house tonight.
I mean, it's obviously. I don't know.
Asking Ken for a prediction. Ken does not like talking about what's going to happen in the future. So, Ken, how impressed were you by Liverpool's 7-0 win in the past?
Well, it's like, I mean, Klopp said after the game, he said, well, we beat Bournemouth 9-0. What happened in the next game? Actually, they beat Newcastle 2-1 in the next game, but it wasn't. They didn't play very well and haven't played well for months. So, I mean, it seems like they're generally going a bit better in the last while. I mean, is it a coincidence that it's from Thiago's injury? I mean, I hate to say
you always defended
that.
Him.
Well, I think he's brilliant. I mean, because your mate Kenny Cunningham,
my big mate Kenny,
abuse that he puts out on the national airwaves.
He just says stuff like. He's stealing a living as a footballer. You know, mild criticisms
You could take that any number of ways.
It's constructive.
Really.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said that twice, that phrase twice in one halftime analysis a few weeks ago.
Yeah, which was a lot. I mean, because I think he's an amazing player, but I just don't know if he's necessarily the right player for that team. And there was that kind of weird statistic about every time Elliot, who I haven't really been super impressed by, so far, although he was good on Sunday, Fabinho and Henderson play, then it was something like, you know, there was 4 wins, 21 goals, 2 conceded, or I can't remember, they beat Bournemouth 9-0, they beat Rangers 7-1, they beat United 7-0, they beat Ajax 3-0, you know, so these are like...
Oh, that sounds like a pretty good idea then, really.
Seems like
that
works, and they'd only played together 5 times, or started together 5 times, so I think that might happen again.
You want to keep that combination fresh, you know, you don't want to overdo it. Mm. You can win too many points in the league too, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, you can get greedy.
I have to say, I enjoyed the Lisandro Martinez video that you sent me yesterday. It's like about a minute and a half of Martinez.
Well, this is the thing about Man United, is that they do struggle to stay humble. You know, like they don't. Is there any other club that mints sort of cult heroes as quickly, like instantly, as Manchester United?
A certain cartoon of Brendan Rodgers does come to mind, Ken. I don't know if you're familiar with this meme from the 2014 season.
But that was after nearly 2 seasons in. You know, when they started thinking maybe he was seeing the ghost of Paisley.
Brendan Rodgers is at the bottom left-hand corner of the meme, and he's like on Earth. And then there's a cloud in the top right-hand screen, and it's Bill Shankly and Bob Paisley. And Brendan Rodgers is looking towards the sky, and he's going, how am I doing... how am I doing, boss? And it's like... You're about to blow the league in the most hilarious fashion of all time. And surely you know that this meme is helping that process along massively. Like the idea that this meme exists in the world basically means you're screwed.
Yeah. I mean, have you heard the Martinez song? Tiptoe.
Yes.
Tiptoe through the kippax with a pickaxe and a sawn-off shotgun. It's to no limits.
Yeah, yeah,
tip-toe
yeah.
Tiptoe through the cup and with a cleaver. He's from Argentina. So this is the song. So this is
Ken's going to sing out the show tonight. With
his reputation. His reputation is big and bloody and ferocious. And,
well, just as well, because so it's taken a bit of a knock over the weekend. Yeah. You know, he will hope that there are some brownie points in the bank.
Yeah, I mean, if you consider, say, what's happened to Trent Alexander-Arnold, you know, and his inability to defend and discourse, which is like a whole section of the internet at this stage. You know, like that's, you know, the thing that happens, the Trend plays badly. It's like, here's some Trend hate we found on 4chan. Let's just imagine what would happen to him if he was to play as badly as Martinez did just once. Imagine if just once he played that badly.
Well, it did happen to Martinez. That's the point. There's a video showing every play Martinez was involved in, one more embarrassing than the last. And it does happen to United players as well, because that was a real Harry Maguire style video. Like, you know,
see, Harry Maguire just looks more ungainly when it happens to him.
Well, you know, he's got longer to fall. So, like, I mean, his fall takes like three times longer than Martinez's fall. So Martinez had gotten up and fallen over again in the time it would have taken Maguire to fall over once.
And Harry Maguire, so if, actually, you know, he has quite an expressive face as well.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, perpetually worried.
He's kind of drawn and he looks guilty and hunted. Like, you know, someone's going to find out my secret. Yeah. And
what's your secret, Harry?
Whereas Martinez has got that sort of, you know, well, I don't know what he's thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I won the World Cup is probably something along those lines. I would say, I certainly, if I was Lisandro Martinez, I would, you know, I would hope that I would be forgiven for thinking, you know, in the midst of all these memes, you know, I do have a World Cup medal, so, you know, swings and roundabouts, that's football, isn't it?
It is true about the cult hero thing. The Casemiro, we touched on it in the podcast on Sunday.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's in the Jonathan Northcroft. There were so many articles about Casemiro in the last week or so, about the greatest human being.
The best
that's ever
signing said, since Cantona.
Yeah, but also the stories that are told to illustrate this. Apparently, I think it was the Northcroft one. I don't want to do him a disservice if it wasn't in this, but one of the anecdotes was, or the indicators that he was made of the right stuff, was how he was paraded at Old Trafford. Apparently the body language he was showing when he was walking around. And the fact that he walked over to Roy Keane and gave him a hug was like, told all United fans, this is the kind of
understands
guy that's going to succeed
at Old. Understands it's the history.
Bonkers stuff. Like, yeah, now, he is a very good player.
No, he was exposing all his kill points. swaggering around, and it's like all the main veins are but yeah, I mean, that was, you know.
I think writing an article about someone and you mention his body language, you're like, yeah, well, this
language,
is bullshit.
I
use the phrase body language.
Klopp is always
guys,
going on about body language. Yeah. You know, are you saying he's a fraud?
Well, I, you know, there's a lot of Liverpool fans in here. I don't feel comfortable answering that question right now, Ken.
To be fair, the Johnson, I did end up reading the. I was like, what's this all about? And it was about like when he said it was the best signing since Cantona. First of all, that was kind of in the headline.
A supporter who said
but,
it, I think.
But yeah, and it was kind of and it was to do with the overall sort of influence. So I mean, because obviously the thing you think is, well, does anyone remember Ronaldo played for Man United? And for, you know, I'd say he was quite good, you know, a good signing. But it was more to do with the way that he's kind of changed the, I mean, he basically is now the most important person in the dressing room, which has completely taken it away. I mean, Miguel was talking about this when we were talking to him last week, where you used to have, you know, Solskjaer and his main guys were like Harry Maguire, Shaw, maybe Bruno. I'm not, you know, but now it's essentially Casemiro and Martinez are just the two main guys, and everyone, you know, Maguire isn't part of the team anymore effectively, and so this has kind of changed the atmosphere. So that's, I think, what he meant. But obviously he played really badly, and I mean, he will play badly if they force him to play every 3 days between now and the end of the season. You're going to see a lot more bad games from Casemiro, because, like, you know, he's 31, like, so
yeah.
Yeah, maybe once or twice a week, really, not three times.
I should say, Murph, Ken was just living his best life over in New York, entertaining the crowd, being brought to tears by a Van Gogh painting at one of the many museums he visited. It was a short trip, but a fulfilling one for
him. He really
went
the extra mile. I mean, you know, as he explained yesterday, it was a lot to do with severe sleep deprivation and jet lag. But nevertheless, he did get up and get out there, you know? Not for Ken, just idly sitting in a pub for 20 hours a day drinking pints and, you know, in general, behaving like a like maybe 10 hours a day, but not 20 on. And that's the difference between Ken and us, you know? You need to understand.
We're happy
that.
To see you.
No, you need to understand that he's a different man to us, Ken. He works in a, his mind works in a different way.
I know you were just happy to see Big Vout get his redemption there last night, something we talk about in today's Second Captain's Podcast. It's a, or yesterday's, the days. This is what happens when you come back from a trip. Yes. Yep. No, today's. Indeed, today's. How could we have talked about something that happened last night in a podcast that went out yesterday afternoon?
Listen, our production team are good, but they're not impossible. That good.
They're pretty good. These guys can work some things. They can do some edits. But no, we're going to be talking about Vout in today's podcast with World Service members scoring a goal.
He was very happy with himself, wasn't he? Very happy.
Accordingly, yep. Yeah, he really was.
I mean, the fourth goal in a 4-1 win in, you know, the Europa League on a Thursday night in March. But listen, you know, fair be it from me. It was a big goal and a big week personally for the big man.
Thanks, Murph.
Thank you, Owen.
Don't forget to join up to the Second Captains podcast for £5 a month plus VAT on secondcaptains.com. And of course, the podcast is part of the Acast.
The Acast Creator Network, Owen. The Acast Creator Network.
Acast Creator Network. Network. Acast Creator Network.
What is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's world service.
It is not war and death and famine, it's not that at all. It's the opposite of that, it's to persuade that there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.